Today's scripture reading is from Acts 8, verses 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come in and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. May God bless the reading of his word.
So this morning, my title is An Act of Love Along the Way. And I just wanted to mention that mothers are lovers of children. And I'm glad that we celebrated mothers this morning. In fact, a mother is not necessarily a person who has a child physically. There are many people that are mothers that have inherited children through marriage. Some other way. I think of my wife, Josephine, who, when my first wife died, a few years later, we got married. And she is the reason for the success of my son in life. It's because she came into his life and mothered him. So let's also be thankful for those who mother in non-traditional ways. But this morning I want to focus on the text from Acts chapter 8. So please join me in a moment of prayer. Lord, thank you for the word of God, which comes to us as your word to us. It is true, it is inerrant, it is correct, and helps us as we walk and live in this life. And brings people life and transformation. Bless this message, I pray, in Christ's name. An act of love along the way. Am I having a voice problem? No, I'm not. So, an act of love along the way. How did you come to walk along this path with Jesus Christ? How did you wind up here in this church in a faith that exists around the world? The most persecuted faith in the world. Just this morning I looked on the web and there were another 11 people killed in Indonesia for being Christians. A faith that resists a materialistic view of life, resists a Marxist or an atheistic template to looking at things. A faith that tells an agnostic or someone who says, I don't know if there's a God. A faith that says there is a God and we know there is a God. How did you follow this faith? How did you come to this point? A faith that tells a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Muslim that Jesus Christ is the way to life. He is the truth. How did you get here? Some of us came to know Jesus along the way of life, walking a road, a path that was not in a church, a street corner, a Bible study. But some of us grew up in the church. And we went to Sunday school, and we don't even know when we became a believer, but it happened at some point. Some of us know the day and the hour when you became a Christian, and you can remember it. And there are even some people in the church who have been going to a church for years and years and years, but they've never truly surrendered to Jesus Christ. There are many paths, many ways that people come to God. So I want us to understand that when we look at this text. Because love is a big part of how this Ethiopian eunuch and how Philip came together. It's because of the love of God. You know, we may do a lot of things in church, right? But we may also do a lot of things wrong. We may mess up our visitation. We may fail in greeting people properly. We might even at lunchtime have a flop of a meal with some rotten vegetables. We may even have a pastor who preaches a flop of a sermon. We might even have an old person who's grumpy. We might have a young person dancing in the aisles and making a scene. But if we are a loving community, that's okay. Because the scripture tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. We may fail, and yet love helps us. This morning we're going to be thinking about what it is to become a Christian from the perspective of this Ethiopian eunuch. The name Christian is a fascinating study, by the way. Where does that word come from? Actually, Christian means little Christ. And when it was created, it was meant as an insult for Christians. It first occurred in Antioch. In chapter 11, 26, you can read the text. It's where Christians were first known by the name. And while Paul was still alive in Rome, it was also used as a derision. In fact, there's a Roman historian, Tacitus, and I want us, this is Tacitus, a modern sculpture of him, but I want to read this text from history that was written by Tacitus around 64 AD. He's a young boy, and he's in Rome during the time of persecutions. And this is what was written in his journal. Therefore, to stop the rumor, there was a rumor, by the way, there was a fire in Rome and Nero blamed the Christians. So, therefore, to stop the rumor that he had set Rome on fire, he, Emperor Nero, falsely charged with guilt and punished with the most fearful tortures the persons commonly called Christians, who were generally hated for their enormities. I have no idea what the word enormities means here. Christus, Christ, the founder of that name, was put to death as a criminal by Pontius Pilate, procurator of Judea in the reign of Tiberius. But the pernicious superstition, repressed for a time, broke out again, not only through Judea, where the mischief originated, but through the city of Rome also, whither all things horrible and disgraceful flow from all quarters as to a common receptacle. He didn't have a very good opinion of Rome. And where they are encouraged. Accordingly, First, those were arrested who confessed they were Christians. Next, on their information, a vast multitude were convicted. Not so much on the charge of burning the city as of hating the human race. So, this word Christian has often been looked at in a pejorative way. But do you know what happened as years passed by? The word Christian was adopted by Christians. It's like you're given a bad name, and then finally Christians adopt the name. And they did. And so throughout the history of the first 100, 200 years, Christians who were executed in the Colosseums claimed that word Christian. Polycarp, the great martyr, said, "I am a Christian," before he was executed. There are other names that Christians have been known for also. Christians are known by the word disciple, brother, saint, believer, friend. But I like the one that is known as follower of the way. It occurs 6 times in Acts. Indeed, in Acts chapter 9, verse 2, we read that meanwhile Saul, which is Paul, was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Followers of the way. I like that concept. I like it more than the other words. The other words are nice, they're biblical. But I like the idea of being a follower of the way. Because it is not about a one-time experience. It is not about being baptized and saying, "Oh, I'm a Christian now forever and ever and ever." It's not about saying, "Oh, I received Jesus in a camp and now I'm a Christian forever and ever." No! To be a follower means something. We have a lot of young people here, and we have Garrett. If I say, "Garrett, walk down the road," and I talk to these young people and I say, "Follow Garrett," and they sit down, are they followers? No. But if they follow him, they're followers. Following Jesus is a continuous act. It's a continuous behavior. And that's what the scripture here is trying to communicate with this word, followers of the way. Let me ask you a question. Are you following the way? Are you engaged in following Jesus in all areas of your life? Leisure, faith, marriage, education, work. Are you a Christian in every context? Because that's what a Christian truly is. A Christian is continually a Christian. You just don't come to church on a Sunday and say, "I'm good. I have my dose of church." And then you go out into life and you forget about your relationship with God. The text shows us that Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, that they had some kind of relationship where they responded to God. The Holy Spirit called Philip to go to Gaza, a deserted area. And the eunuch was reading the scripture, listening to God. And God brought them together through the Holy Spirit. Now, I will be honest with you, this text reminds me of the soon arrival of Pastor Joshua and his wife, Esther. And I think about what it must be like to move suddenly from one place to another place. It's not easy. It's easier on men than it is on women. But I think about Joshua. I looked on his Facebook page. He has almost 70 young people that is part of his ministry that he has developed. They look healthy, joyful, and he has chosen to leave a ministry to come here. I think that is phenomenal. that somehow in God's will and design, a man has chosen to change his direction in order to go to another place. And I think it's phenomenal also for our Chinese community church to have made a decision to bring in somebody. It's not an easy thing. I'm sure that both sides are thinking, what is going to happen? What will happen when we bring this new pastor here? So I am very optimistic about Joshua. I like him. I talk with him. And I really believe that he will make a significant impact on our community. And I encourage you to pray for him. Because he doesn't know what the future holds. And neither do we. But we are children of the Spirit of God. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is John 3, verses 8. Because it communicates something absolutely important about being a follower of Jesus Christ. You don't know everything. You don't know the future. But God knows the future. God knows where you're going to wind up. God knows how he's going to use you. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from. And where it goes, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. For people in the military, in the army, as an army chaplain, I really like this verse because I tell you, there are places that I have been that I never thought I would be there. But I was there, and God was with me. Chinese church, God is with you as you experience his leadership transition. And God is with Joshua and his wife and their son Caleb as they come into this place. And may God do something beautiful and wonderful to do his work in this city. The book of Acts is a fascinating book to me. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but raise your hand in your heart. How many of you this year have read the book of Acts? I see one person. Not many of us. But the book of Acts is an important testimony to how God brought revival and renewal to the world and spread the message of Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Acts is named after the apostles. It's called Acts of the Apostles. So if you look at chapter 1, verse 3, you have a list of all the apostles. But you want to know something funny? If you read the rest of the book of Acts, most of those apostles are not mentioned. There's only two apostles mentioned. Really. Peter in the first half and Paul the second half. But do you know what the dominant theme of the Acts of the Apostles is? If there's a person, it's the Holy Spirit. From the beginning to end, the Holy Spirit over 51 times is mentioned. He is mentioned and shown to be the primary person moving the advancement of Christianity. So the Acts of the Apostles, some scholars have said, and I don't want to change the name of the Acts of the Apostles, please don't misunderstand. But some scholars, like John Stott and others, have said there might be better names. The Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Acts of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. But regardless, we see God's love for humanity shown in the text. I want you to think about this eunuch. This eunuch was from Ethiopia. What ethnic background is that? Probably black, African-American, or African. Okay? And so often the Ethiopian eunuch is looked at as someone who would not be accepted very well in the Jewish community. Perhaps the Ethiopian eunuch went to Jerusalem and tried to worship and wasn't let in to worship. We don't know what the situation was. But I will tell you there's another element connected to this man which kept him away from the Jewish community, which kept him away from worshiping God. And that is the fact that he's a eunuch. What is a eunuch? Some of you don't know what that is, but the Bible tells us what a eunuch is. You can read it. Reread it in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1. I brought two translations for those of you that are embarrassed by the stronger translation. But this is a eunuch. And this is the problem with eunuchs when it comes to church. He that is wounded in the stones or hath his privy member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Hey, I got a question. What's a privy member? Don't answer that question. In the Jewish community, if you were a eunuch, you were disabled. You were unable to worship in the temple. You were excluded because you were subject to the judgment of God. That's how they thought about disability. People that had blemishes, people that were sick, they were excluded because you were being judged by God. No man who has his sex part, that's a better translation, crushed or cut off will go into the meeting of the Lord. And yet, this account of the Ethiopian eunuch is a powerful testimony of God's love. Because it shows that God reached out to people that were rejected by the mainstream culture. He opened the door to people that would not have been accepted into the temple. This is the message of Christianity, a message of love. And you look at Philip. My first point this morning is this. The Spirit leads us to men and women seeking God. Philip, by the way, what was Philip? Was he an apostle here? No. Philip was a deacon. He was a layman. What's a layman? A layman is someone who's not a preacher. A layman is someone like Jennings, like Molly, like Garrett, although I think Garrett is more of a minister. A layman is somebody that is not ordained. No ordination. Let me tell you, sometimes the word ordination is overly estimated. Because you can ordain a duck. Ordination comes from God, not from man. Man only recognizes God's ordination. I know a lot of preachers who, and a lot of people who think that just because you have the papers, you're good to go. I know some churches, they ordain you for life. And the only time they get rid of you is if you're a pedophile. Come on. I heard a preacher say that one time. I wanted to say it. Come on. So Philip is there in Samaria in this great revival taking place. And by the way, that was a barrier that was being broken. Samaria, this was an ethnically polluted, a different ethnic reality. There were racial issues going on. And the Holy Spirit led Philip into that place of revival where people were coming to know God, breaking down the barrier of race, breaking down the color line. And God calls him through an angel. I want you to leave that great place where great things are happening. I want you to go somewhere else. So where did he go? He went to a desert. He went to an out-of-the-way spot, a backwater, 60 miles southwest of Jerusalem, Gaza, one of the five Philistine cities. And that's where he went. You know, sometimes God will put us in a place where we're in a backwater. Sometimes in life circumstances takes us out of a great circumstance, a great situation. Because God wants to do something much greater. And God wanted this Ethiopian eunuch to be reached. Sometimes in life we make decisions, and the hard decisions. And we go one way when there's a benefit for going another way, but we go to another way. I did this one time professionally. I chose a family decision for my son over a professional decision that would have benefited me. Sometimes we make decisions like that in life. You know, in this church, Chinese Community Church, sometimes we feel like a backwater. If you look at the nature of Chinese churches in the D.C., greater D.C. footprint, there are Chinese churches with 1,000 people. There's Chinese churches with an English congregation of 500. And Chinese Community Church, we still have a number of people, but we haven't exploded. Friends, that is okay. Because we have influenced. Many of these people in these other churches have come from this church. We should rejoice in that. We're not a backwater. In fact, God uses us as a platform to reach others. And God has a future for the Chinese Community Church. We're in D.C. We're in the heart of a capital city, of a great nation. I want you to think about this Ethiopian eunuch. I have friends that are Ethiopian. Ministers that I work with that are Ethiopian. If you talk to them about this Ethiopian eunuch, you know what they'll say? This is the greatest man. This man, he went back home. And he is the one who established Christianity in Africa. And for the first 600, 700 years, the strongest Christian churches were in Africa. Carthage, Alexandria. All of these places were great centers of Christianity. And the Coptic church, the Egyptian church, and the Orthodox church in Africa, they will tell you it's because this Ethiopian eunuch was won to Christ. It reminds me of Paul being knocked down on his horse and suddenly coming to Jesus Christ and becoming the person that spread the gospel to the West. This Ethiopian eunuch spread the gospel to Africa. And it's only because Philip was responsive. Chinese Community Church, I want you to be responsive. When people come into this church, you are called to love them. You are called to reach out to them. They may not stay. They may be here for a moment. But the love and the Christian experience that they can have from you can have an impact that is strategic around the world. You have no idea how much influence you can have. They may come and visit and hear a sermon. When I became a Christian, I remember I visited a church. I don't remember the sermon. But you know what I remember? I remember the tea and cookies. And that helped put me on the path to follow God, where I began to think about the scripture and begin to think about God. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. So Chinese Community Church, God will use you. Like he used Philip, and he called Philip from a long distance. Philip, leave that good place and go to that hard place. Well, we have a hard place here, a little bit, and yet God will use us. The angel told them, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Love was the motivating factor behind this. Because God loved this Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible tells us in John 3, 16 and 17 that God loved the world so much that he sent his son not to condemn but to save the world through him. God's love for this Ethiopian eunuch was so profound that he sent Philip to bring the message of life. And he will do the same thing with Chinese Community Church. Secondly, people may recognize their need of God and need help. The text, which I'm not going to read, tells us that this Ethiopian eunuch is sitting there in the chariot, and Philip is there listening, and Philip says, Philip interrupted him while he was reading. That means that sometimes we need to interrupt people with the gospel, with the good news. Sometimes we need to put ourselves in a position where we can answer their questions. We can speak to their heart. And Philip boldly did that. What would happen? Let me tell you something. Sometimes God speaks to one person, and a lot of other people say, well, he's not speaking to you. Because you all have to have the same opinion. You have to have the same viewpoint. Let me tell you, God doesn't work that way. Sometimes God speaks to people differently from you. And you need to be charitable enough to embrace the person that has a different viewpoint. Because God does not want everybody on the same page. He works often with a community that thinks on their own, that has different viewpoints. There's a democratic dynamic sometimes to church. The Ethiopian eunuch needed help. That's a text that he was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. That text comes from the Old Testament, and Jesus quotes this on many occasions. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah, and that text is in Isaiah. And he had a question, what does this mean? Let me tell you, today, this is a Jewish text. This is a Hebrew text. You won't find this read in synagogues generally. Okay? Because it's hard for them to explain it. Because it's talking so clearly about Jesus. And Philip explains to this Ethiopian eunuch that this is Jesus. And through the process, long process in a chariot is a longer ride than a car, so they probably had hours to talk. This layman, Philip, is riding along, and the Ethiopian eunuch looks at him and says, hey, should I get baptized? And he says, sure. So they get out, they go into a water pool or something, and he gets baptized by the layman. Wasn't even a preacher. Wasn't ordained. Wasn't ordained. He was a deacon. And then after that, he gets up, and then suddenly there's a change. Philip goes to another place, and what is Philip doing, this layman, this deacon? He's preaching the gospel. You know what that tells me? Some of you here, I'm glad Roy's here. Roy, are you ordained? No, he's not, but God ordained him to preach. And some of you here, I pray and hope to God that God will use you to preach the gospel as he gives you the ability. Love. I want to read, I know we're going a little over, but I want to talk about love, because the love in the Bible is a different kind of love. It's not the kind of love. Go to the next slide there. That's a kind of love. I remember I was watching a program on television, and they had this beautiful Ferrari with beautiful women, and they were singing to me to say, oh, I love you. It's like the Ferrari loves me. Isn't that so happy? Don't you wish that? Let me tell you, love, these things disappear. Your Ferrari will rust out. It'll get old. After 1 year, you lose half its value. Love is like this from Shakespeare, and this reflects the Bible idea of love. Midsummer Night's Dream. The course of true love never did run smooth. You think about that if you're married with somebody. Is it all smooth? I've talked to people before that said, I've never had an argument. That may be true, but I guarantee you it's not all smooth. Love bears with the weaknesses and struggles and fights to maintain and hold on to to one another. That's what love does. It doesn't give up. But there's another aspect of love. There's a poet, political person. His name's Pablo Neruda. I think this is a picture of love also that the Bible shows. The Bible shows this view of love, this agape, self-giving love. I think this is a beautiful quote because it talks about the love as we grow old with one another. It talks about the love as we in a church grow old with one another. When I die, I want your hands on my eyes. I want the light and the wheat of your beloved hands to pass their freshness over me one more time, to feel the smoothness that changed my destiny. Love. Love. Love is with someone to the very end. I will always be thankful that I stayed with my wife and was with her in that room when she died. I was holding her hand. That's what love is. Love is being with someone. It's a church being with people that are a little peculiar that come to your church. It's not getting mad at people and complaining about the food, complaining about this. If we do that, we need more love in our life. Maybe we're in the right place. We're in church. We need God to work on us. And lastly, to love another. Answer them. Answer the questions. Tell them the good news. Baptize them. I love that song that we sang, I love to tell the story of Jesus Christ. Because that is a story that we all can tell because we are all walking on this path. There's another hymn I like. It goes like this. I'm going to try to sing a little. I'm not a singer. I serve a risen... I'm going to say the words. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He's walking with me. He's on the road with me. He's on the path with me. This morning, I appeal to you. Don't forsake that path. If you're not on that path, get back on that path of Jesus Christ. Because He loves you. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for Chinese Community Church. And He will bless us. In truth, in this church, one day we could have an ambassador walk in and sit down, and his heart can be changed, and he can go back and influence his country. We can have a disabled person come in and experience the love of God and go back and choose to serve God in a powerful way. So let us be a conduit. Let us be a place where people can choose to follow the living God more and more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord God, I commit your people to you. I commit this church to you. And I pray, God, that if this message has spoken to someone's heart, help them in their heart right now to make that decision to choose to follow you, commit their life to you, to be your follower, to be a Christian, a believer, a follower of the way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.